السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. حضرت مسیح موعود علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی شفقتوں.
After reciting the tashahhud, ta'awudh and surah al-Fatiha, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih V, may Allah be His helper, stated, I will present some incidents in relation to the kindness, generosity and munificence of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Hazrat Shaykh Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani writes that his generosity was like an endless river and his hands were like clouds that showered pearls. It would start pouring and continue to satiate those it fell upon. This would increase exponentially during the month of Ramadan, as he would continue to give to those in need in complete secrecy. In fact, he would not hesitate to give others even the most precious of things. This characteristic of his can be found throughout every stage of his life. This was prominent even prior to his appointment as the Messiah Mahdi. As such, recounting the kindness and benevolence of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, Mia Ghaffara Sahib Abdul Ghaffar Kashmiri relates that when he got married, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, gave him two pieces of valuable jewelry to assist him financially. This was prior to his appointment, when he was still living a life of seclusion. Hazrat Sheikh Sahib writes that this is not an isolated incident. Rather, there are many such incidents. It has never so happened that someone asked him for something and he did not give him anything, or that he perceived the need of something and did not help or assist him, even without the individual asking the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. He was extremely generous and kind. The mother of Bashir Sahib Bhatti says that once, on the occasion of the wedding of Hazrat Amirul Mu'mineen Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II, may Allah be pleased with him, that is Hazrat Mirza Mahmud Ahmed, a woman who was involved in the playing of traditional music came to the house of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, with a drum and started beating it, hoping to receive something as it was a wedding. This was the custom there. When the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, heard the sound of the drum, he immediately turned his attention to it and said, tell her not to beat the drum and to stop it and give her whatever she is asking for. Accordingly, she was given 4 or 5 rupees. She then said, winter has arrived and I get cold. Upon this, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, gave her a quilt as well. However, he stopped her from beating the drum. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, relates that first of all, it should be clearly understood that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was not fond of any particular type of clothing. During the last few years of his life, he received many simple and tailored clothes as gifts, especially coats, waistcoats, trousers and shirts, etc., which Shaykh Rahmatullah Sahib of Lahore would frequently bring with him as gifts on the occasion of Eid al-Adha. These were generally the clothes he wore. However, aside from this, he would occasionally have clothes made for himself as well. He usually purchased his own turbans and wrapped them as well, in the same manner that these clothes were made and worn. They were also continually given away, for people would constantly request them as blessed keepsakes. At times, it would even reach the point that he would give away a piece of garment as a blessed keepsake and immediately have another one made to wear in its place. Some discerning individuals would even send him an item of their clothes and at the same time request the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to give them one of his own garments as a blessed keepsake. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Sadiq Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, writes that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, once said to him, "I used to have a small pocket-sized copy of the Quran, that is a small copy of the Holy Quran, that I used to carry with me. It was beautifully printed with very clear script, and I was very fond of it. But someone asked me for it, so I gave it to him, so that I would not have to refuse a person who asked." As a Qurayshi Shaykh Muhammad Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, who worked as a postman in the post office and was a resident of Qadian, relates, "On one occasion, I took a large number of money orders to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, for distribution. After handing over the amounts to him, I continued delivering the remaining money orders throughout the town. When I returned to the post office at about 4 o'clock and began handing in the processed money orders to the postmaster, the accounts revealed that I had mistakenly overpaid someone by 6 rupees. I became extremely worried because the amount delivered to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had been a substantial amount. The postmaster, whose name was Allah Datta and who was a prejudiced non-Ahmadi, said to me, 'It would be best if you went and asked Mirza Sahib.' I really did not want to trouble the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, again. But because the postmaster insisted repeatedly, I went to him and said, 'Today I accidentally overpaid someone by 6 rupees. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, replied, "My dear brother, I do not even know exactly how much money was received, and I have already spent part of it," meaning that he had already distributed it to others. "Nevertheless, you are a poor man, so I will give you these 6 rupees. But in future, be more careful because you are poor." This incident illustrates the promised Messiah's noble character, generosity, and compassion for those in need. Hazrat Mir Mehdi Hussain Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, relates, "On one occasion, Maulvi Muhammad Ahsan Sahib asked me for a copy of Chashmai Masihi, that is Fountain of Christianity. I told him the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has instructed that a certain number of copies should always remain in the office because the government sometimes requests copies of published books. Therefore, there are no spare copies available to give you. However, if you obtain permission from the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, you may have one." So Maulvi Sahib wrote to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. In summary, he wrote, "Only 20 copies of Chashmai Masihi remain in the office and I need one copy. If there is no objection, kindly allow one to be given to me." The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, wrote on the letter, "You may take one copy," and signed it. This incident demonstrates not only the honesty and transparency of the companion, who openly explained the office's policy and the limited number of remaining copies while respectfully making his request, but also the graciousness of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Although those copies had been reserved in case they were needed later, he still did not refuse the request of someone who asked. From time to time, Pandit Mohan Lal, who was then a bright young man, would come to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, carrying a note or letter from Pandit Lekram. Since Mohan Lal's family had long-standing ties with the family of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, whenever he visited, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, would never let him leave empty-handed. He would always give him something as a gift, such as fruit or fine sugar, which in those days was considered a particularly valuable gift. Sheikh Yaqub Ali Sahib says, Pandit Mohan Lal, whose family had also enjoyed friendly relations with mine, and since the time of my father, would often recount these incidents to me. He would always say, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, treated me with great kindness, always welcomed me with a smile, and never allowed me to leave empty-handed. On one occasion, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, gave me some exceptionally fine apples. I took them with me. It had become Pandit Lekram's habit that whenever I returned, he would ask, what have you brought? When I told him that I had brought apples, he looked at them longingly and said, come on then, let me have some too. Pandit Mohan Lal said that I jokingly replied, you shouldn't eat anything that comes from the house of your enemy. You claim to be such a great opponent of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, so why are you asking for something from his home? Without another word, he immediately snatched an apple from my hand and began eating it. Hazrat Sheikh Yaqub Ali Sahib concludes by saying that Mohan Lal always testified that he had experienced nothing but kindness, generosity, and graciousness from the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Hazrat Munshi Zafar Ahmed Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, relates, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, kept musk. On one occasion, I mentioned that I wanted some. He placed the container in front of me and said, take as much as you like. I took only a small amount. Smiling, he said, that is hardly anything. And then he himself measured out about 1 to 1.5 dollars, that is approximately 11 to 17 grams, of musk and gave it to me. Musk was an extremely valuable substance and is still today, and was used in perfumes and medicines. Yet the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was never concerned with the monetary value of his possessions. His only concern was to demonstrate the high standard of generosity and noble character. Hakim Mufti Fazlur Rahman Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, relates the following incident, illustrating the promised Messiah's deep compassion and generosity towards his friends. My wife gave birth to a child, and on the seventh day, around Maghrib time, she began showing signs of meningitis. Since an epidemic of this illness was spreading at the time, I became extremely concerned. After the Maghrib prayer, I hurried to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and explained my wife's condition. He said, this appears to be the beginning of a very dangerous illness. Immediately give her 10 rattis, that is 1.82 grams, of asafoetida. He prescribed asafoetida to him. Then come back and inform me after an hour or an hour and a half. After the Isha prayer, I returned and reported, the illness has increased. It has worsened instead of improving. He then instructed, give her 10 rattis of quinine and let me know again after an hour. And do not think that I will be asleep. Simply call out from the men's staircase without hesitation. An hour later, I returned and said, there has been no improvement. He replied, then give her 10 rattis of musk. I said, at this hour, where can I possibly obtain musk? The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, went inside, returned with a handful of musk and said, this should be enough for 10 rattis. I submitted, Huzoor, this is far more than that. He replied, take it with you, it will be useful again in the future. I took it, measured out 10 rattis and gave it to my wife. An hour later, I returned once more and informed him that her condition had become even more serious. He then instructed, give her 10 tolas, that is 116 grams, of castor oil. He continued changing the medicines in an effort to help her. I returned home and gave her the castor oil. Soon afterwards, she vomited severely. In this illness, vomiting was usually considered the final stage. After vomiting, her breath became labored, her neck arched backwards, her eyesight faded, and she lost the ability to speak. I immediately ran back and called from the staircase. Hearing my voice, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, opened the door and asked, "What has happened?" I replied, "Her condition has become critical. She is struggling to breathe. Her neck has become rigid. This is a symptom of this illness known as meningitis. She has lost sight in her eyes, and she has lost her speech." The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said, "We have now used every remedy that this world has to offer. Only one remedy remains, and that is prayer. Go home. I will now bow my head in prayer." What extraordinary compassion he displayed. "Until Allah grants her recovery." Hearing these words, I returned home and said to my wife, "Now you have nothing to worry about. The one who has taken responsibility for your case has himself taken charge." By then, it was 2 o'clock in the morning. I left my wife in that condition, spread a bed for myself in the next room, and went to sleep, saying to myself, "The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has said that he will now pray. There is nothing more for me to do." The next morning, I awoke to the sound of utensils. When I looked up, I saw my wife at the foot of my bed arranging the kitchenware. I asked, "How are you?" She replied, "You were asleep. About 2 hours later, Allah the Almighty bestowed His grace upon me. All praise belongs to Allah, Lord of all the worlds." This incident demonstrates the Promised Messiah's exemplary standard of both compassion for his friends and generosity towards them. Hazrat Shaykh Yaqub Ali Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, writes that there was a man of Jatt caste in Qadian named Nihal Singh, who was an uncouth and foolish man in his youth. He had served in the army and received a pension. His house stood wall to wall with the drawing room of Khan Bahadur Mirza Sultan Ahmad Sahib. He was a bitter enemy of the community. At his instigation, a serious but false criminal case was filed against the first caliph, Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Nuruddin, may Allah be pleased with him, and some other Ahmadis. He would always join others in harassing Ahmadis, and hurling abuse at them had become his regular habit. During the very period when these court cases were ongoing, musk became necessary for the wife of his nephew named Santa Singh. Not only was musk unavailable elsewhere, but it was also an extremely expensive substance. In this situation, Nihal Singh himself, the same man who was an opponent, came to the door of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and requested some musk. As soon as he called out, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, immediately came out and didn't make him wait even for a moment. As soon as he heard the request, he went inside immediately saying, "Wait here, I will bring it right now." He then returned with approximately half a tola of musk and handed it over to him. Hazrat Shaykh Yaqub Ali Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, further writes that when the plague spread through the country, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, under divine revelation and guidance from Allah the Almighty, began preparing a medicine, which he named Tiryaki Ilahi, the divine antidote. And there was no fixed formula for this medicine. Rather, whatever ingredients Allah the Almighty guided him to include through subtle divine revelation, he would gather and add accordingly, paying no attention to conventional principles of medicine. Even the weights and measures of the ingredients were determined solely under divine guidance. As he was guided, he would continue adding. Several thousand rupees worth of precious ingredients were incorporated into this medicine, along with other costly medicinal ingredients. When the medicine was prepared, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, distributed it with great generosity. He did not charge anyone even for a single pill or grain of it. In fact, when people requested it from distant places, he would send it to them by registered parcel entirely at his own expense. Dr. Sadiq Sahib once related that someone requested only 2 or 3 masha, that is unit of measure, of the tiryak, of the antidote. However, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, packed a larger quantity into containers and had it sent by registered post. Hazrat Shaykh Yaqub Ali Irfani Sahib writes, "When I also requested some, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, granted me a very large quantity. This wasn't his practice only with regard to the tariyak. Rather, when it came to medicines, his character was such that he would often hand over entire bottles to those who requested them. On some occasions, he even gave highly valuable top-quality musk to his fiercest enemies, one such incident having already been mentioned earlier. Hazrat Shaykh Muhammad Naseem Sahib states that on one occasion I needed musk, which was almost impossible to obtain in Qadian during those days. I asked the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, regarding it, and he gave me far more than what I actually required. Munshi Zafar Ahmed Sahib of Kapoor Thala relates that a friend had made great efforts and spent a considerable amount of money to obtain the formula for preparing a particular medicinal compound from someone. After preparing it, he presented the medicine and its formula to the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him. Another friend asked me to obtain that formula, but the friend would not share it with anyone. I went to the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, and said, a certain friend has presented a medicinal compound to Hazur. He replied, the bottle is lying there, you may take it. I then asked, what about the formula? Hazur replied, that too is lying right beside it. So I took both the medicinal compound and its written formula and showed them to that friend, saying, you would not tell anyone, but I have brought it. Here it is. That friend then went to the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, and remarked, Hazur has given it away. The Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, replied, he came to me asking for it, so I gave it to him. The Prophet Messiah further told me, we also have the notebook of the prescriptions belonging to Mirza Sahib, meaning his late father. If you want medicinal formulas, I will give you that notebook as well. It contains many excellent prescriptions. You may take it. However, afterwards, I no longer remembered to take that notebook, although Huzur had graciously wished to give it to me. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Sadiq Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, wrote in a letter to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, due to a pregnancy, there has for some time been such difficulty in my household that food cannot be prepared at home. Bread can be baked by others, but preparing cooked dishes is difficult. Therefore, I respectfully request that for some time arrangements may be made for curry from the langar, that is the communal kitchen, to be sent to my home. In reply, the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, wrote to Mian Najmuddin Sahib, who was in charge of the langar, instructing him, Mufti Sahib should be provided with good quality curry from the langar twice daily. This is an instruction. Hazrat Muhammad Ismail Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, relates, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, once intended to send a delegation to Nisibis to investigate matters relating to Jesus, peace be upon him. The delegation consisted of Mirza Khuda Bakhsh Sahib, Maulvi Qutbuddin Sahib, and the third member, the narrator says, was my father, Mian Jamaluddin Sahib. These individuals had been selected by drawing lots. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, gave each of the three men 50 rupees to prepare clothing and other necessities for the journey. He also held a farewell gathering for them. However, due to certain circumstances, the expedition was later cancelled. When the journey was called off, the narrator says that my father went to return the 50 rupees to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Hazur replied, whatever we have once given to someone, we do not take back. When my father returned home, he later narrated this incident to me. Hazrat Malik Ghulam Hussain Sahib relates, the Jalsa Salana of either 1894 or 1895 was also attended by Husamuddin Sahib Sialkoti, who had a great fondness for cooking and food. He spoke very highly in the presence of the Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, about a dish called Shabdig, saying, Your Holiness, Shabdig is an exceptionally delicious dish. Shabdig is a dish prepared with different kinds of meat and various vegetables and other ingredients are also added to it. It is then cooked throughout the night. The Prophet Messiah, peace be upon him, called me and said, provide Shah Sahib with whatever he likes and as many ingredients as he requires. Accordingly, meat was obtained locally while turnips were brought from Batala. Towards the evening, approximately four large cooking pots were placed on the fire. Rice was also purchased from a well-known shop in the amount of about 2 to 2.5 mons. In the morning, the guests were served food as desired by Sayyid Husamuddin Sahib. As the Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, relates, Munshi Zafar Ahmed Sahib wrote to me saying, once on the occasion of Jalsa Salana, the funds ran out. In those days, there was no regular system of collecting donations specifically for Jalsa Salana. Rather, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, would personally bear the expenses from his own resources. The late Mir Nasir Nawab Sahib, who was in charge of the langar, came and submitted that there was no provision left for the guests that night. In other words, the expenses had been exhausted, the money had run out, and the stores of food had also been depleted. There was now nothing available with which to feed the guests. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said, take some jewelry from Bibi Sahiba that may be sufficient to fulfill the need at hand. In other words, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, instructed that jewelry be taken from Hazrat Amma Jan and that it should either be sold or used to raise funds so that provisions could be arranged. Accordingly, the jewelry was either sold or pledged, and Mir Sahib brought the money and arranged the necessary provisions for the guests. 2 days later, Mir Sahib again said at night, in my presence, that there was nothing left for the following day. The funds raised from the jewelry had lasted for 2 days, but now what was to be done? The Promised Messiah said, we made whatever arrangements we could with apparent means. We have given whatever we had. There's nothing left for us to do. These are the guests of God and have come for the sake of Allah the Almighty. They are the guests of Allah. He himself will now make the arrangements. Munshi Zafar Ahmed Sahib says, the next morning, around 8 or 9 o'clock, when the postman arrived, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, called Mir Sahib and me. The postman had in his hand around 10 or 15 money orders that had arrived from different places, each for 50 or 100 rupees. The senders had written on them that they were unable to attend the Jalsa and were therefore sending money for the expenses of the guests. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, received the money orders and then delivered a discourse on trust in Allah. Munshi Zafar Ahmed Sahib says, a few others were also present at the time. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said, just as a worldly person has confidence in the money placed in his safe, believing that he can take it out whenever he wishes, those who place their trust in Allah have an even greater certainty in Allah the Almighty. It is certainly the case that whenever there is a need, Allah the Almighty sends the means immediately. Thus, when the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said that they were the guests of Allah and had come for his sake, he would certainly have prayed as well, and his trust in Allah was resolute. Allah the Almighty then made the arrangements himself. Hazrat Mia Rahmatullah Sahib says, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, would say, famine and the plague are happening all at once, yet still people do not repent. They die of hunger. 3 years after this, a severe plague spread across the country. During the days of famine, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, would say that it is mentioned in the Ahadith that a famine would occur in the time of the Promised Messiah. The saying of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and the promise of Allah the Almighty were fulfilled. On the other hand, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, instructed Maulvi Sahib, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, may Allah be pleased with him, that as much grain as possible should be procured. At that time, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, himself oversaw the arrangements of the langar. Since there was a fear and danger of famine, he instructed that grain and other provisions should first be arranged, and he entrusted Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, may Allah be pleased with him, with this task, so that purchases could be made immediately. In accordance with the Promised Messiah's instruction, Maulvi Sahib purchased 30 sacks for the langar from me. There was a shortage of donations, and the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, sold all the jewelry that was present in his home. He gave Maulvi Sahib 700 rupees to purchase wheat. That is, 700 rupees was a very large sum in those days. Hazrat Maulvi Sahib then sent the late Mia Najmuddin Sahib to the village to purchase wheat. It is said that Mirza Ismail Sahib also accompanied him and they purchased grain. People who had been displaced from Bikaner, a region of Rajasthan in India, came into our area. A severe famine had struck there and people had begun coming from that region. Cries for bread could be heard from every direction. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, instructed that flour should be prepared in langar at all times and that bread should remain ready. He told Mia Najmuddin Sahib that anyone who asked for bread should be given bread and that no one should leave empty-handed. Within a few days, the grain that had been purchased was all used. The Promised Messiah then delivered a speech, the words of which were as follows. This is a temporary matter. Such sacrifices are not always required, nor is such reward always available. These are special days for the believers. May Allah the Almighty enable the members to strive for His pleasure. As a result of this speech, some money was collected, and some also arrived from outside. More grain was then purchased. In this way, during the days of famine, this system continued. Whoever came was immediately provided with food. The Prophet ﷺ, peace be upon him, would say, I read in some newspapers that in certain countries, so many children have died of hunger, and so many people have died. Grain is not available. The fact that grain is not available is a severe punishment and wrath from Allah the Almighty. He would repeatedly say, May Allah the Almighty have mercy. With great concern and anguish, the Prophet ﷺ, peace be upon him, would ask Mia Najmuddin Sahib and Maulvi Sahib about the grain. Even today, there are some countries in the world where similar conditions exist. There is great hardship, famine prevails, grain is unavailable, or inflation is such that people cannot afford to buy food. People are dying from poverty and hunger. By the grace of Allah, wherever the Jamaat becomes aware of such conditions, and it sends funds to assist people and fulfill their essential needs. Members also contribute their share in this effort. May Allah the Almighty grant them even greater ability to continue striving to help the poor and those afflicted by famine. Hazrat Qazi Nur Muhammad Sahib relates, writing at the time of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II, may Allah be pleased with him, I had the opportunity to study at night in Darul Masih with Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II, may Allah be pleased with him, who was my classmate. Hazrat Maulvi Shir Ali Sahib would teach us. The Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, would deliver addresses to the ladies. And at that time, the sound of his address would reach them clearly. However, regrettably, I do not remember what the Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, said. Generally, Mullah Ahmed Noor would go to obtain flour for the langar. When the flour was brought on a donkey, Allah the Almighty would grant this humble one the opportunity to lift the sack of flour and carry it to Darul Masih. On one occasion, I saw the Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, bring many rupees in the fold of his shirt and place them into the pocket of Mullah Ahmed Noor's garment without counting them. He gave the money without counting it and instructed him, in effect, to go and purchase whatever was needed for the langar so that its arrangements could continue. Hazrat Mia Chiragh Din Sahib narrates, on one occasion, my throat became so badly constricted that my voice stopped coming out altogether. The Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, said to Hazrat Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib, see to Chiragh Sahib's throat. What is the matter that his voice is gone? Hazrat Maulvi Sahib treated him for some time, but to no avail. Then on one occasion, when Dr. Muhammad Hussain Shah Sahib, Dr. Yaqub Beg Sahib, and Dr. Bude Khan Sahib of Lahore all happened to be present together, the Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, raised the matter before them as well, asking what the reason might be that the boy had lost his voice. Dr. Yaqub Beg Sahib examined my throat and said, if you give the order, the insides of his throat can be cut, meaning it appears to be a matter of the tonsils, and that removing them would restore his voice. The Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, said nothing in response and fell silent. A few days later, he said, Chiragh, we shall now treat you ourselves. And looking at him there and then, he said, we shall prepare a remedy for you. By God's own wisdom, that very day a herbalist from Amritsar arrived, carrying a jar of pickle made from madar leaves. The Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, opened it, looked at it, and said, this is your cure. He had already said that he would prepare a remedy, and then, as if on cue, a man who had prepared such things, remedies and preserves, arrived with this madar leaf pickle, whereupon he declared it to be the treatment. At mealtimes, two or three leaves would be placed on a flatbread and given to him. It was very pleasant to eat, and the Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, partook of it himself as well. He says, it brought me relief. At that point, the Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, gave him the entire jar, saying, finish it yourself. And when he did, he recovered completely. Hazrat Mirza Afzal Beg Sahib narrates, I first came to Qadian in 1898. My father, a court pleader. Both names are written as Afzal Beg. There seems to be an error in the names. He enrolled me in Talimul Islam High School to pursue my studies. At the same time, there were a few boarding students and their meals were provided through the community kitchen. Some complaints were raised about the food, and my father mentioned to the Prophet Sallallahu peace be upon him, that the children were having difficulty with the meals. Out of his kindness, he immediately said that food would be sent to the children from his own home. And so for several months, our meals came from his personal household. From time to time, he would also send mangoes and sweets for the children to enjoy. Khwaja Abdul Rahman Sahib Kashmiri told Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, that the late Hafiz Hamid Ali Sahib used to recount, whenever money came to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, from anywhere, he would call me, hand over the money without counting it, and say, take it now, who knows when there will be more. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib notes that the late Hafiz Hamid Ali Sahib was among his personal attendants to whom he would give money for household needs and to look after guests. Hazrat Khan Sahib Sayyid Ghulam Hussain Sahib narrates, on one occasion, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, sent me from Qadian to Batala to collect a parcel that had arrived by rail and gave me 5 rupees for the purpose. The parcel had arrived by train and I was to retrieve it. The parcel turned out to be a basket of grapes on which only 4 annas had been charged. When I brought the basket and presented it to him, he tore open the burlap covering with both hands, scooped out some grapes and gave them to me first, saying, this is your share. When I tried to return the remaining money, nearly 5 rupees, he picked up the basket and carried it inside and said, would you not keep accounts with our friends? I was 15 years old at the time, he says. Hazrat Munshi Qazi Mahbub Alam Sahib says, Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib and Khwaja Kamaluddin Sahib used to practice law together in Peshawar as partners. It was a shared practice. Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib later came to Qadian while Khwaja Sahib remained there. When cases were brought against the Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, this appears to refer to the cases brought by Karamuddin. Khwaja Sahib came from Peshawar to represent him. The Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, was present in Masjid Mubarak when Khwaja Sahib arrived, wearing a look of great distress, and said, only God and his Prophet know what it took to get here. I pledged my wife's jewelry to raise the fare for the journey. The financial situation is very bad. The Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, said, Khwaja Sahib, you need money? Come. He went inside with Khwaja Sahib following him, opened a trunk and scooped out 2 or 3 large handfuls, whatever coins had come in, and poured them into Khwaja Sahib's lap, saying, is that enough, Khwaja Sahib, or do you need more? Khwaja Sahib said, that is more than enough. When Khwaja Sahib counted the money afterwards in Masjid Mubarak, it came close to 300 rupees. He left for Gurdaspur the following day. The Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, had poured that money into his lap without counting it at all. And this was his general habit. He never counted out money for his attendants either, placing complete trust and confidence in them. In all the time I was fortunate enough to spend in his company, I never once saw him ask any attendant for an account. Whenever anyone asked, he simply gave. Hazrat Shaykh Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani writes, whilst mentioning the kindness shown to Khwaja Sahib, Khwaja Kamaluddin Sahib, who has now severed his ties with the community, that is, he has separated himself from the Jamaat, and harbours enmity and hostility towards the progeny of his benefactor, that is, the Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him, has bestowed countless favours upon him, yet he bears animosity towards Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II, who is from his progeny, had extensive personal experience of the graciousness, benevolence, generosity, and munificence of the Prophet Sahib, peace be upon him. Indeed, he had witnessed these favours on numerous occasions. He received substantial sums of money repeatedly, yet despite receiving them, He never once acknowledged it, nor did he ever express gratitude to the benefactor. Rather, he continued to boast of his own services, constantly claiming that he was rendering great service to the community. Hazrat Sheikh Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani further writes, I regard this as ingratitude towards one's benefactor and a complete disregard of his favors. During the days when the court cases against Maulvi Karamdin were being heard in Gurdaspur, on one occasion during the proceedings, he showed the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, a letter that had arrived from his home in Peshawar, mentioning the financial hardship they were facing. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, immediately gave him 500 rupees in cash and then instructed that he be given 100 rupees every month. Thereafter, he continued to receive 100 rupees monthly. In particular, at the instruction of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, members of the community had contributed a considerable sum towards the expenses of the court cases, and this money remained in Khwaja Sahib's custody, yet the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, never once asked him to account for it. In addition to such financial generosity and beneficence, Hazrat Sahibzada Abdul Latif Sahib Shaheed had presented the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, with a valuable Afghan-style coat. Khwaja Sahib requested it, saying, Your Holiness, kindly grant me this coat so that I may wear it when appearing in court. By virtue of its blessing, I shall command awe in the opposing counsel and in the court. With a smile, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, presented this beautifully embroidered and valuable cloak to Khwaja Sahib. This was also mentioned in the previous sermon. Someone had brought a fine sheepskin leather coat. Even today, leather garments are regarded as valuable, and they were considered so in those days as well. When Khwaja Sahib requested that coat, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, gave it to him. Sheikh Hamid Ali Sahib relates, Until the very end of his life, he never once asked me to render an account, nor did he ever become displeased with me. On one occasion, I went to Lahore. Maulvi Nuruddin Sahib had sent a remittance of 700 rupees, which he brought back. It was either in the form of cash, a money order, or a voucher. He also purchased some supplies, and after doing so, he returned with approximately 50 rupees remaining. I presented the breakdown to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. He replied, When did I ever ask you for a breakdown? As a Sheikh Ahmadid Sahib relates, On one occasion, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, instructed this humble one, Go to Mia Nabi Bakhsh Sahib, the Dana, in Amritsar. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, wrote a letter and said, Deliver this to him. Whatever item he purchases for you, bring them back promptly and return by tomorrow. The following day, I was delayed somewhat in returning. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him's attendant, Mia Karamdad Sahib, was instructed, Go quickly. I had sent Ahmed Deen to Amritsar and he has still not returned. I hope all is well. Go and find out. On the way, Mia Karamdad Sahib met me and said, Hazrat Sahib is greatly concerned about you. When I presented myself before the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, he immediately asked, Did you suffer any inconveniences? I submitted, Huzoor, I suffered no inconvenience whatsoever. Merely hearing Huzoor inquire about my well-being filled my heart with immense joy, for he had kindly asked after my condition. I then wished to present a breakdown of the expenses along with the remaining money. Huzoor asked, What is this paper? I respectfully replied, It is the list of the items purchased and this is the money that is left over. With great affection, Huzoor said, What accounting is there between you and me? You may spend this remaining money on your own needs. I was overjoyed. Hazrat Sheikh Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani relates that on one occasion, Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Mulana Nuruddin Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, borrowed a sum of money from the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. When he later sent the money back in repayment, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, expressed his disapproval, returned it, and remarked, Do you regard our money as being separate from your own? Hazrat Sheikh Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani further writes that after the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, announced that he had been commissioned by God Almighty, and people also came to know that Allah the Almighty had given him the glad tidings, kings shall seek blessings from your garments. People would commonly request articles of his clothing. He would never refuse anyone. At times, the situation became such that only the clothes he was wearing remained on his person, as all his other garments had been given away. Hazrat Sheikh Yaqub Ali Sahib Irfani relates that the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, permitted Mir Abbas Ali Sahib to retain and spend the proceeds received from the sales of Barahin Ahmadiyya. This is but a modest illustration of his magnanimity and generosity. Hazrat Munshi Zafar Ahmed Sahib narrates that Mirza Nizamuddin Sahib and Mirza Imamuddin Sahib, the relatives of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, were among his staunch opponents. Nevertheless, whenever they found themselves in need and sought financial assistance from the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, he would fulfill their request. On one occasion, he relates, Mirza Nizamuddin Sahib asked the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in his presence, for 50 rupees or thereabouts. The Promised Messiah immediately instructed Hafiz Hamid Ali Sahib to deliver the amount to him. Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, writes that Dr. Mir Muhammad Ismail Sahib related to him that during the era of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I, may Allah be pleased with him, Abdul Muhi Sahib, an Arab, once remarked to him, what can one say of the generosity of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him? During his lifetime, I never experienced any hardship. Whenever I needed something, I would ask him without the slightest hesitation, and he would give me more than I needed. Indeed, he would also provide for me of his own accord. After the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, passed away, although Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I was himself renowned for his generosity, he was unable to fulfill my needs in the same manner. After all, finding myself in difficulty, I wrote to him saying, you have indeed become the Khalifa of the Promised Messiah, but in fulfilling my needs, you have not succeeded to his example. The Promised Messiah used to treat me in such and such manner. Upon receiving my letter, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I provided me with financial assistance. Even so, he said, I swear by Allah that there is no comparison between the Promised Messiah and anyone else in this respect. No one comes near him in comparison. On one occasion, a poor woman stole rice from the house of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him. When people caught her, commotion arose. At the time, the Promised Messiah was in his room working, and upon hearing the noise, he came out. He saw a poor, destitute woman, extremely disheveled, standing with a small bag of rice in her hand. When the Promised Messiah learnt of the entire incident and observed the state of this poor woman, he felt great sympathy for her, and he said, this woman appears to be hungry and destitute, so give her some more rice and let her go, and adopt the divine attribute of sattar, that is, covering one's shortcomings. After narrating this incident, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, states, following this account, someone could hastily draw the conclusion that this act emboldens the habit of stealing. In other words, one is given further courage to the one who has committed theft. However, a wise person would understand that since the property belonged to the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and the one who took from it was a hungry and destitute woman, then this would not be considered as lending support to the act of stealing. Rather, it would be considered as helping the needy. It is proven from the hadith that in such compelling circumstances, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, also did not consider such a person a thief who was extremely hungry and took something to eat. Rather, he concealed his flaws in such a case. These are the perfect examples of the subservience of his master.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Nahmadu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina وَمِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.